This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. We're going to be talking about payday loans. I don't know if a lot of you know a lot about payday loans. I know absolutely nothing about them, but doesn't matter because I have who knows a lot about it. But before I introduce, I'm going to say that the concept of short-term lending is new. It's really centuries old, and I had no idea. Much of it is more organized origins can be traced to the United States in the late 1800s, where it was common to get loans before they receive their wages. These were the days when most people found it difficult to get bank accounts, which were almost unheard of. Alongside pawn debt cashing, short-term loans were vital in making blue-collar workers stay afloat in harsh times. Where did and how did it develop? Here are some sources, five sources that can be worse than payday loans. Car shops, credit card cash advances, late payments and bounce checks, and wait for it, utility bills. Really got me. But I don't want to get into that right now. I want to introduce Ms. Caldwell. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay. A little bit about yourself before we start talking about the origins of.
Well, basically my whole life I do, overall it's community development work. This is one of the issues I deal with, but full-time I work as a workforce development teacher, and I teach courses on workforce development. I run a business where I help people start and build sustainable nonprofit organizations. I'm on several boards, and I'm working on my PhD in nonprofit management. So basically, my life, my faith, and everything is serving the community and providing resources to make it better.
Well, good for you. It sounds like you got a lot. Well, I'm glad
I think I have it under control. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to dive in. Can you tell us a little bit about car loans? Well, you know, these five sources of credit that can be worse than payday loans. But you, after that, then you can go over that, you know, and then you can tell me if this is true or not. Because.
Yeah.
And searching that, it says car title loans is a secured loan the car as collateral. Okay, we know that. You get to drive the vehicle, but the lender has just in case you fail to make your loan payment. So you could lose your car. It's one
right.
payment.
Well, overall.
Worse.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Fortunately, in Michigan, auto title loans have been, there's a social, the Michigan Coalition for Responsible Lending, and that's under this umbrella organization called Community Economic Development Association of Michigan. They fought back auto title loans in Michigan. So that's not legal in Michigan. And that falls under the umbrella.
You mean the car title loans aren't legal?
Some states
are
legal,
okay.
But it's not legal in Michigan. Because basically what you do is you take out a loan, you turn in your, we used to call our pink slips, our titles, and if you didn't pay the loan back, they took your car. So here you are, you're in the crisis already, you didn't have the money, now you don't have transportation. So that type of predatory lending was made illegal in Michigan right now. And that's the thing, there's a lot of predatory lending out there now. Some legal, some just unethical. I will put payday lending is legal in Michigan, but there's a lot of things that's ethical and what it can do to the consumer. And that's what the Michigan Coalition for Responsible Lending, we're trying to make sure that these laws protect consumers because typically payday loans were set up for short-term crises, but they turn out to be a long-term debt cycle for the borrower.
I need to take a break right now. I'm having some in and out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
Right.
It too.
I can see what I can do.
Okay.
This is the Let's Talk About It.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband. And in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org, for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
Okay.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide.
Right.
It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is We Serve. Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay. Talk About It with Jenny White Show. And tonight we're talking about the payday loans. And we're learning now that payday way back in the 1800s. Now that's something I really know. That kind of got my attention. And then the
Hello?
The five. I'm here. Then the five
okay.
sources of credit payday loans. And we've talked about the car title loans. And talking about pawn shops. Pawn shops will give you a short term loan of up to 300% APR. Require you to pledge a valuable item as collateral. The short term of the loan is difficult for the borrower to get the money together in time, which means the pawn valuable and sell them for a tidy profit. So on that, Ms. Caldwell.
Well, again, that's another form of predatory lending. Perfectly legal. I think overall, if I tell anything for the listeners, the way to become financially solvent, you have to learn how to start saving. And no matter how small your budget is or whatever, you have to start setting a budget. And I always say from your payday, whatever you get paid, put something aside for you to save. Because otherwise, especially if you're low income and you have a low credit score, you're going to have to pay an exorbitant amount to get a loan, and it's going to dig into your household budget. And I know starting to save is hard, but one of the things I start doing, and I went through a bankruptcy myself, let's take $25 every pay period, and I had it sent to a credit union savings account without me touching it.
Oh,
and then because typically,
so,
if you have direct deposit, you can send it to two different banks, a bank or a credit union. So what I did was have $25. I made sure I didn't take the ATM card. So when I made the decision that I need to pay for something or go to that account to get money, I had to go to the account. And that helped me with the discipline of saving. Because truthfully, we have all these loan products. It works. I'm a living example. And as my when my pay increased or whatever, I increased the amount that I save every pay period now.
Right.
And I have it automatically sent to the savings account. Because we're going to be talking about payday lending. You brought up the pawn shop. There's car repair loans. There's all kinds of predatory lending. And bottom line, you're going to have to pay a lot of money if you can't get a traditional loan. You're going to pay a lot of money in interest. And like you said, with pawn shop, the pawn shop is 300% APR. Payday loans, it's in Michigan, average 329% APR. So you're paying more than three
Yep.
times the amount of the loan.
Yes.
And it's to me, it's unethical. I'm just my personal opinion. And I've used payday loans. I've gotten into that situation. But it's not the best avenue. So if nobody hears anything else, I have to say, practice the discipline of saving. Access to credit is not wealth. Wealth is actually owning assets. So that's the one thing. But pawn shop
so
is
you,
another
you're saying
to
that you just saved in the beginning like $25.
Right. On your direct deposit slip, you can say you want to I have my regular checking account where I pay everything out of. But I said $25 and I said I wanted $25 to go to this credit union every pay period. Now it's increased. So I have a certain amount that goes to my savings account every 2 weeks. I don't touch it unless I need it. And I'm going to tell you what happens is, like, so even if you say, what's $25? In 2 months, we typically get paid twice a month. So in 2 months, you've had $100 that you saved that you didn't use. You'll be surprised
right.
how many $50, $100 emergencies come up where you otherwise have to borrow the money from somebody or you have to think about it. If you don't touch that money, in 3 months, you have, $150. So I had an example because I'm part of a financial group on Facebook, and the lady was upset because she said, I finally saved $1,000 and my furnace broke and I had to spend $500.
Wow.
She was feeling bad, but we, our comments, so I was telling her congratulations because she saved that $1,000. She had the $500 to pay for the furnace. She didn't have to go get a loan. She didn't have to be cold. She didn't have to go into her household budget where she had to pay bills and use bill money to cover this household emergency because she saved the money. And
right.
the key is she didn't have to pay. Typically, if you take out $600 for a payday loan, that's the maximum you can take out in Michigan, in 2 weeks or up to 28 days, you have to pay $676. She, because she saved, she had the money. And she didn't have to pay any interest on it. And even though you don't make a lot of money with a savings account, she also received like 1% of her money back because she saved it. And I think that's my biggest message to people. We've got to learn how to start saving money. Because emergencies happen.
Okay.
They always happen. Yeah.
Yes, and inopportune times too.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
okay,
you'll find out you have less crises because you have money.
I believe that. I'm going to take another break. This is the Let's Talk About It show.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know? If you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Make sure you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Just Jamine is a natural line of luxury creams and lotions. From our creamy shea to our thick frappe and our therapeutic body butter, we have eliminated the petroleum, the alcohol, and the water and use natural oils and raw shea butter. Our products are made for the hair and the body naturally. For more information, visit us at www.justjamene.com or call us at 313-279-1494. That's www.justjamene.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, back with the Jenny White Show, and we're talking to Ms. Caldwell about payday loans. Okay, and another one that will... Okay, does anybody hear an echo? No? Is that just me? Okay. Just me. But they said another one that was not any credit card advances. Well, we all know that because you get, if you borrow 50, the average cash advance, and that doesn't include the ATM charge up to $5, and the that is more than you want to pay for a $100 payday loan.
Right.
There's late payments and bounced checks, which I couldn't understand with that. But slow and steady does not win. Saying credit cards will often charge you $37 for late and add on an additional $37 fee for returned. So I don't think you want to do that either. But the one that really got me was because they say, although you probably don't view it as a loan, utility their services on credit as long as you pay on time. No interest payments or fees. But if you miss a payment, utility bills quickly become one of the most expensive sources of credit. Payment fee of $30 to $50. If you delay your payment, you can and probably will disconnect your service. $50.
Right.
And if you want to reconnect, expect a $30 to $50.
Reconnect.
Bottom line, a single $100 bill could cost up to $120 in fees. So how many of us thought about a utility bill as being something that that was worse than a payday loan?
Well, actually, a lot of people get payday loans, which is worse than payday utility bills. I would, if you have a utility issue, I would recommend you call the company. And also, all utility companies, they are under the rules of the public, I think it's Utilities Commission, the cable companies and the utility bills. So if you have any issues with your utility company, you can call the state of Michigan for that. And because it may not sound like it's worse than the payday loan, but the payday loans are they can be infinitely worse than not using them to pay your utility bill, and that's why
yeah,
and a lot of people get caught up because they're so busy trying to keep up the payments on the payday loan that they don't pay the other bills.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because what the lenders try to do is make it sound like it's a quick, easy way to get out your short-term money crises, but a lot of people, because the way it's set up, they have to keep taking that same loan out over and over again and repeating the fee.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So maybe you pay $100. If I pay $100, I can go back and get another $100. Without
but
having
you, okay,
paid that one off?
Because what happens is payday loans, it's they call them deferred presentment. That's the technical term for it. So
okay,
what happens is they call it deferred presentment. That's the official name. But if you go to the different stores, what typically happens is in Michigan, you can take up to $600 out at two different places, two loans, up to $600, and you have to pay it back within 2 weeks or up to 28 days based upon your payday. And what they do is because it's a payday loan, it's not a regular, what we consider a normal traditional loan, you have to charge fees. So they charge you 15% for the first 100, I think it's 13% for the second 100. And on and on. So what happens is, I'll just give you a quick example. You need $600. So you go to the store or online, and you write electronic check or regular check, and the fee is $76 for $600. So you write a check for $676 and whenever your next payday is. And then the lender gives you $600. So on your payday, you either go back and pay them back the $676, they tear up your check, or they cash your check. And if it's online, they just cash your check and take the $676 out your bank account. The problem is they don't base these loans on the ability to pay. They look at you make a certain amount, but they usually look at your gross salary. And all of us know our gross salary, if we actually lived off our gross salary, we would be fine. But your net is usually after they take all the taxes and all the other stuff out. So a person in 2 weeks, you've gotten over your crisis, you paid the $600, but you've had, when your next payday comes, they take $676 out. And if you only make $1,000 on your paycheck, you're left with $325. So what usually happens is that person, of course, needs money to do their household bills and life. So they go back and take out a loan again. You again pay that $76. So right now you've paid over $140 for that same $600 that you've been floating, so you won't default. And the problem with payday loans, when people get caught in the cycle, we found out on average people take out that same amount of money by continuously paying that fee at least 10 times. So you're paying about $760 for an initial $600 loan. And that's the issue with payday loans. Hello? Hello? Did I lose her?
No. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay, what I'm saying is that if I understood you correctly, you said that I could have a loan with one place, then go somewhere else, more?
Yes, you can take out, you can go to one place and take out 600, and then you can go to another place and take out, you're only allowed to take out two. So maximum you can take is $1,200. So what a lot of people end up doing is to cover, they go between the two so they can float, you know, pay the other one money, and they keep doing that until they can finally pay off the loan.
But then if I still understand you again, that means you got to pay it off that month.
You have to pay it off within 2 weeks typically, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That's why they call it payday. They're holding your check as collateral for that loan. And so it's paid. Maximum amount of time is 28 days.
Okay, I have a listener that wants to comment.
Okay,
are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
You're on.
Hello. Oh, thank you, Miss Jenny White. And how are you this evening, Mr. Caldwell?
Hi, I'm fine.
Okay. You know, listening, you talk about payday loans. There's some, when you're dealing with... we have a large proportion of single-parent households.
Mm-hmm.
If they do get a chance to work, you know, making something, usually their salaries are not up to par.
Right.
A lot of times you try to pay your rent, your light, your gas. It really is. Then if anything falls out of order, you find yourself in trouble. You still have to pay rent and all this other stuff. Payday loans are, what I found out, you need someplace to go. The regular banks and things, if you're credited, you know, they look at a lot of things, but they will not lend to you. And lending has really become a big problem. And I'm not praising payday loans, but at one time, I was glad that they were there. This one girl told me about it. Her landlord, she fell behind. She had some slip up. When her car needed to be fixed, it fell behind. He was going to put her out. She had to get that rent together. And so she went to the payday loan. Now, it's true that before that, you can have a lot of payday loans outstanding. But now Michigan was able to buy for these two loans. But it's like a necessary evil that the people, you know, where your salaries are not comparable to taking care of your needs, you know, that you have someplace to go. You can't go to the bank. It's nice to know that you can save, okay? You can save. But if issues keep coming up, especially with the children, you got kids in school, seasons are changing, you're trying to hold steady with what you do have. Any break in that type of pattern that you have, it causes a big problem. And that's the way I see
it
now.
Right. And
it causes a
great deal.
It's nice to think. Look at her. She was saying that was going to put her out here to find some way to make up that man's money.
And you did hear that. I said I've used the payday loan. The reason I'm doing this and the work I'm doing is to provide protections, because just because we're in a crisis, we shouldn't have to pay 329%. There should be a reasonable way that we can have access to money. And we also realize that wages have stagnated in the last 30 years, so there's not as much money out there. So, yeah, it is a necessary evil. But what I'm trying to do is tell people to really look at, look at what's going on, look at the interest rates. And even though we always have to, because I told you, I came out of the bankruptcy, and that's when I started doing this savings program, because I had to change my mind. We can't keep the cycle going. Also, if you're in the city of Detroit, they've opened up 3 financial empowerment centers, and they're helping citizens look at their finances to help them better manage them, because we all know everybody's struggling.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure, I want to protect people. You shouldn't have to pay 329% because you're in a crisis.
Understand that, you know. Mm-hmm. You either pay it or you don't get the chance to put out the crisis. That's what you have to look at if you have a crisis like that. Now, it was a time, they didn't have a company where if you had a lot of payday loans out there, you go to this company, and you have to send so much money in, but they would divide the money you're paying in loan creditors to help you pay off, and they would bargain with it. They do have, I think they still have those in place. I'm not sure. But it's not something that you would
be careful too to make sure that the loan that you, because payday loans only are for 2 weeks. The longer term loans, you want to check out to see if they're even legal in the state of Michigan, because right now the only type of loan, this type that's legal right now, is the deferred presentment, and that's a 2-week loan. We know that there's some Indian tribes and other companies out of state.
Oh, yes.
Right. Right. Those loans aren't
legal. They're not legal in Michigan?
No, ma'am. So you want to check that out. The department, the attorney general's office could tell you if they're legal or not, because they're not legal in Michigan right now.
You mean?
And that's what longer? And that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make sure I want to protect consumers, and that's why we're doing the work that we're doing right now, because we're trying to protect the consumers, because people are out there who are unscrupulous. They know you're in a crisis. They know you're trying to make it day to day. And they'll do some unscrupulous things. And then I can tell you, all the things you can do. Because one thing about the payday lending law that I want to make sure people know, too, if you've been taking out payday loans and you've done it 8 times or more, you can break your payments down to 3 payments and pay that loan back. But you have to write the company that you can that you want to do that.
Can you repeat that, please?
If you've taken out a payday loan 8 times or more, you can break your payments down in three, and it won't charge you any more interest, and you can pay the loan back. The thing you have to do, though, is write the company, because this is state law, and tell them that you've taken it out eight or more times and you want to break it in three payments and pay it back. Right. And that's one of your rights when you're in, you know, so that's one way you can pay it back. But I understand that people are in need. I just don't want you to be needlessly hurt, and I don't want you to get caught up in something that you can't get out of. And a lot of people have been hurt by these loans. So be careful about it. And just know there's a group of us that's working to make sure that you get the consumer protections that you should have.
That's interesting. Yeah. They have that Veritech also. It has to.
Right, Veritech check.
Veritech,
right.
They have to. You have to clear it through Veritech. You put in for one. It goes through Veritech to make sure you don't have too long out in Michigan.
Right.
But then there are some things that Michigan use that I found out that. Now, to me, there's one in particular that's not in Michigan, but they consider it a part of Michigan. So if you have one loan in Michigan and go out of Michigan to have this certain company, I think it's a very good company. They consider that too. And I said, well, that's not a part of Michigan. We're still going to consider the two a part of your two loans for Michigan. And that goes to Veritech. I understand that.
Right. Well, anybody that's doing a legal payday loan has to register with the Department of Insurance and Financial Services that runs the Veritech database. Right. That's what I'm saying. And so and it's only the payday loans that's under that Veritech system. However, there are some unscrupulous lenders out there that are technically not legal in Michigan to be offering loans. And I want the consumers, you need to find out should they even legally be offering you that loan. Because if it's over $600 and it's not a bank or a traditional lender, it probably is not legal.
So when you go to get a loan, you have to fill out some papers or something?
Oh, yeah.
With the payday loan, they have to, what they basically usually do is verify that you have a job, and they verify your employment. They don't take, and one of their positives they say is that they don't check your credit score. And so basically that's what they do. And that's why one of the protections we're looking at is having the ability to pay. Because a lot of people, they'll just look at that you have a job and they look at your gross salary. But we pay about 30 to 40% in just taxes alone. So even if I make $1,000 gross, most of, 30% of that money is taken anyway, that's $700. Right there. So, the taxes is about 30%. And so that's one of the issues. We want to make sure that people have the ability to pay the loan back. And without, and like a mortgage or a rent, we look at, can you cover rent? We're looking at three times the amount of the rent. And we say that's a credit utilization and that you can cover paying for the rent. Right now, we just said, they look at it and they say $1,000 gross, okay, you can get a loan. And they tell you how much you can get.
Based on that, yeah.
Right. And the problem is, too, payday lenders typically, they map, the Center for Responsible Lending maps where all these payday loan stores are. They're typically in minor areas with people of color and low income.
Right.
So they're going after those populations. But payday lending is not a low-income minority issue. I know people with serious jobs who are getting payday loans. So it's not like that. But they go after low-income and persons of color. And in Michigan, they say they're going into rural areas as well.
They have them out in those more affluent communities?
Not typically.
We
have them in the city. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, always.
They typically go in the cities, right.
Tear the poor people down further.
Right. And this is the thing about payday loans, too. We did a study, the Center for Responsible Lending. They did a five-year study in Michigan. And between 2007, I think it was, I don't have the paper in front of me. But in a five-year period, $500 million in just payday loan fees was paid by Michiganders. And like I said, most of them were low-income persons of color. And so that's $500 million that if we could have left it in our community, there wouldn't be a need for a loan. So that's the kind, and then half those companies are not headquartered in Michigan, so that money is leaving the state of Michigan. And that's just the fees, not the actual loan.
Oh, yeah. I heard that Virginia, Colorado, but they outlawed the whole thing. They were fighting it.
Right. There's 16 states have outlawed payday loans.
Oh, wow.
And we found the ones that they outlawed. We know that people are struggling, but they have found ways to get the money they need and not be held up with, you know, interest rates as high as 329%.
Yeah, you know, that's crazy.
It's so
yeah. Desperate people do desperate things. Let's face it.
Yeah, and
that's why I do. Good
idea.
That, and I know the struggle. Yeah, but I really, and that's why. At first, I did it because you know it's part of, you know, it was a project I was working on. But now, when I, you know, when you see the faces of how this is, you know, every 2 weeks, people, if you go to, there's a check cashing place on Wilbert near Wayne State. If you go there every 2 weeks on a Friday, there's a crowd of folks, and they've been paying back that loan, and they just continue in the cycle, and they're just stuck in the cycle. And it, you know, you can get emotional when you think about it. It's just, it's not right. And as a person of faith, you know, there's biblical scriptures that talk about, you know, usury and, you know, not doing it to people. So there's the Michigan Catholic Conference is fighting this, Habitat for Humanity. And we have a lot of organizations all over Michigan that we're saying this is not right. We need to protect our citizens. The military, active military people cannot take out payday loans if they're higher than 36%.
They can't.
So one of the things we're fighting for is a 36% cap.
Yeah, they can't do it. Yeah.
Right.
You mean the money they pay back can't be over 36%?
36% APR.
Right.
And so they were going after active military, and it got so bad that the Pentagon asked Congress to provide that percentage, that protection for active military. So what they're doing now then is going after veterans, you know, and a lot of them are being decimated.
So veterans
by
don't
loans.
Have that protection?
No, ma'am, not at this time. We're working, we're seeking to start working more veterans groups to tell them about payday loans and how to get educate people more about what to do. And that's what I'm saying again. I know people are in a crisis, so they take them out, but there's responsible ways you can do it too. But I know it's hard for people to save. But if you can put $5 away, you gotta just learn the discipline of saving. A lot of that,
that's true.
Because we gotta start learning about our money. And you know, I want to say this too. There's a lot of shame because the people have taken out payday loans. That's why I just had to swallow my pride and say, okay, yes, I've taken out payday loans, so that people know. Let's get over the shame. So we can start working on our finances. One thing I did personally yesterday is went to a financial planner because I got to look at my retirement, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be ugly. And because I talked to somebody, I found out it's not as bad as I thought it could be. So that's why Detroit has the financial empowerment. I think you can call, like, Detroit at work or whatever, but talk to a financial specialist. You probably find out it's not as bad, and if it is bad, you can get out of it. And because the one of the things I heard a guy say at a testimony about payday loans, he was saying, the guy said, well, what if they didn't exist? He said, I probably would have sat down and thought about my options better. But what we do is, because we're so intense, we know we need the money, we just go after what's fast. So let's slow down and see and try to find some resources so we can get out of it and move up financially.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think I know it when they get in a crisis. That I do understand, but mm-hmm. if you don't, you shouldn't be doing that, because you're saying $100 and you got to pay $671 back or whatever.
Right.
That's
a lot.
X amount of money that you need. You would probably have one off and get another one.
You're to the point you have to. Another thing that I want to bring up too, because what they're trying to hit our young folks with, you may have seen it on TV. Hey, you've already worked for your money. You deserve to get $175 so you can buy you some pizza. So instead of budgeting your money so you can make it to your payday, they're pushing, go on this app and you can get, I think it's one place is $75 and it's $100. Then they tell the consumer, you don't have to pay a standard fee. You can decide what you want to pay. And it sounds nice and warm and cushy, and yeah, you can get your pizza money, you know, 2 days before payday. But what you're not learning how to do is budget your money to last. You're setting up a bad precedent, and then you start it gets easier and easier for you to borrow money instead of owning your money and hold on to it and being able to buy something that you can own and have some value. So, I don't know what the demographics of this show is, but if you see your grandchildren or your children, you know, grabbing, one is called Dave and one is called Ernie. I know. Those are not regulated. Michigan, I'm not sure if they're legal or not, but because government is usually behind from where technology is. But you don't want your children to get that they can loan themselves the wealth. You cannot loan yourself to wealth.
Okay.
It's just impossible.
Man, what were the two names?
One is called Earning. I think it's E-A-R-N-I-N. And the other app I heard, I think it's called Dave. And they're basically saying, you already earned your money. Why can't you have it now? And then you can go to that app and borrow against your paycheck again.
Oh, that's like the thing. I need my money now.
it's that same kind of thought process.
Yeah.
Right. It sets up a bad precedent. You start thinking, I can't reasonably plan anything long term and figure out what's important. I mean, I never, you know, who wants to get to a point that you're borrowing money for pizza because you don't want to wait until a day or two for payday? You know, in the old days, we used to just grab our ramen noodles and our beans and we sit that out to payday. But it builds character, too. You know, and then it taught you the next time to put a little money aside so you can get through the payday.
Well, then, you know, you got to. But this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, because I'm telling you, I knew absolutely nothing about
it. Yeah. If people are interested in knowing more, it's called.
Oh, no, I might have to have you back.
Oh, that'll be fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't leave.
Right. Yeah.
And I can give a plug. I teach it for my job. I teach a financial literacy course. So if somebody contacts me, it's at no cost to the group. But if you have 10 people at least, I can come out anywhere in metropolitan Detroit and I can teach the class. Or
oh,
I teach
really?
Different other classes too. At no, yeah, that's my full-time job. I work for Workforce Opportunity Services. And I teach workforce development classes, but one of the classes that I've become passionate about is financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach it at no cost to the group.
Thank you.
I'm going to call you on that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Boy.
I have enjoyed this session.
Thank you.
As much as I know now about payday loans, every time I see one, I'm going to try to turn my head. Because I don't want to get hung up. When you get into that, like you said, it's just you know, golly, I don't see where that helps at.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So.
Oh, well, I appreciate you. I really do. And like
thank
I said.
You. Thank you for the opportunity.
And I'm
going
to see about getting a
group together.
Talk to us about it again.
Okay. I'm trying to
Take another break, and then we're going to come back and you. What you want to leave us with.
Okay.
Magnify his name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify his name.
Is your food bland and you want to spice it up? Does it taste like something is missing? What's missing is my seasoning, Butch's Bodacious Seasoning, all-purpose seasoning, good on absolutely everything but ice cream. I'm Linda Porter, President and CEO of Butch's Bodacious Seasoning. To get the spice back in your life, call me at 313-393-2738. You won't regret it. Thank you.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Okay, we're back with the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show, and I would like to thank my guest, Ms. Caldwell, for coming out and opening our eyes about payday loans. So, Ms. Caldwell, what would you like to leave us with?
Safe. And okay. If you're interested in knowing more about the Michigan Coalition for Responsible Lending, they can be found at CEDAM, at CEDAMICHIGAM, CEDAMMichigan.org. And they have information about payday lending and responsible lending.
Can you say that again, please, one more time?
Sure. Yeah, it's CEDAM, Michigan. So it's CEDAMICHIGAN.org. It is CEDAMMichigan.org.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to receive financial counseling through the Detroit Financial Empowerment Center, they can be reached at 313-322-6222. And that's for citizens of Detroit. And if you want to be reached for any workshops, particularly the financial literacy course I teach, I can be reached at 313-829-0034.
Repeat that, please.
Sure, 313-829-0034.
Okay, and thank you so much.
Appreciate
you. I appreciate all my listeners who were calling in to listen. And I hope you guys learned something, because I surely did. And I thank you for my guest once again, because I really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
So I'm going to see if I can get a way to get you back on.
Okay.
Okay, so I would like to tell my people, have a good weekend. And this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Good night.